الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد ذرأنا لجهنم كثيرا من الجن والإنس لهم قلوب لا يفقهون بها ولهم أعين لا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل أولئك هم الغافلون صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا يبيع أحدهم دينه بعرض من الدنيا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected brothers and elders, we are indeed grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we cannot express enough gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to be in the form of human beings. Someone might ask a question that why should we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having created us to be in the form of human beings? If you look at the various animals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, that they walk around without any worry and concern. They walk around with any concern of the dunya, without any concern of gaining some education, without any concern of attaining a degree, without any worry and concern of finding a job. They do not have to answer to any superiors, or they do not have to look after any subordinates. They do not have any employers or employees to be worried about. The life of the animals, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sums up the life of a bird. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير. That if you had to have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you ought to have yaqeen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains the bird. And what is the life of the bird? Not that it has to attain a bachelor's degree or a doctorate degree, or not that it has to have an 8 till 8 job, or not that it has to open up a shop, but لَتَغْدُوا خِمَاسُوا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانَا. That every morning that bird, without any qualifications whatsoever, without any job whatsoever, there is not a fixed place that this bird goes to. It just flies out in the morning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of it in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And that bird will return in the evening, وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانَا, it returns home with a full stomach. That is the life of animals. So why should we be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us to be in the form of human beings? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. That when it comes to the form of creation, when it comes to appearance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan to be in the best of forms. But it does not stop there. Immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. That this very same insan who was created in the best of forms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then will abase him to be at the lowest of the low. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Except those who have iman, and they follow up this iman with good actions, for these people will be an everlasting reward. So my dear brothers, this we have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. That not only has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in the best of forms, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the ticket, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the recipe for everlasting success, and that is the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So what is the difference? Both are insan. One Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says will be in the depths of the fire of Jahannam, and the other will be enjoying an everlasting reward. What cause such a vast difference in the outcome of this very same human being? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws the example in the Quran al-Kareem that what is it that caused those people who are bereft of this kalima to be abased to the lowest of the low? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. That we have prepared a lot of jinn and insan to be destined for Jahannam. And what is their fault? What did they do wrong? Where did they go wrong? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them the faculty of understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them that inner compass, that is a heart. Yet they fail to understand, they fail to comprehend who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fail to recognize who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fail to recognize that there is someone who has created us. There is someone who has brought us into this world. There is someone who we are going to return to one day. There is someone that who we are going to be answerable to one day. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving him the faculty of understanding and intelligence, he failed to recognize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ أَعْيُنُ لَا يُبُصِرُونَ بِهَا. Fair enough. If he couldn't understand what that interior compass of his, that is the heart, even he could have seen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the ability to see. But yet he failed to see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he failed to see those signs which indicate to the powerful creator that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he failed to see that which reminds him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُمْ آذَانُ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if the faculty of sight failed him at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the faculty of hearing. Somebody could have brought it to his attention that, my dear brother, you are going astray. What you are doing is wrong. You are destined for Jahannam in this manner, that you are failing to recognize the objective of your creation, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That da'wah he failed to hear the da'wah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He failed to hear the various verses which indicate towards the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person, all his faculties fail him, or he fails to utilize these faculties in the correct manner, then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That this person has now been deprived of his being being counted from amongst the humans. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ Balhum adal, that these people are like animals. No, they are even more astray than animals. Because even an animal to a certain extent will understand. For example, you take a dog. A dog, an animal which is known as which is not a very looked upon animal. People look down upon a dog. But yet a dog even has the capability of understanding the quality of ihsan. That a person, he's giving me 2 meals a day, a place to stay. And in return for that little bit ihsan, that little bit favor that the person is doing upon this dog, the dog is ready to give his life for that master. Yet this insan is eating everything provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is drinking everything provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enjoying the shelter provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wearing what is provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet he fails to recognize who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, we are indeed fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us from amongst those who recognize who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are believers in and have yaqeen in the kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But my dear brothers, the mere fact that we are reciters of this kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, is not a guarantee that we are going to pass away with it. Because we are constantly at loggerheads, we are constantly at war, we are constantly at battle with our sworn enemy. That the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded all the malaika, all the angels and jinn to prostrate to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. That all the angels prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except shaitan. And on account of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejected Iblis from the heavens and asked him to come down to the earth. And on this, shaitan takes an oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he takes an oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِنِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. That shaitan takes an oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will sit on the straight path and I will approach them from every angle at every time and I will try to lead them astray from the straight path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives shaitan permission to do what he wants. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at times, divine intervention comes from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, during the month of Ramadan, during the period of Hajj, shaitan is chained, shaitan runs away in shame during the period of Hajj. But there are times when shaitan gets the upper hand, where he has the ability and the capability to lead people astray, that he changes the entire living environment at large. And the effect of shaitan is at its peak. And we find ourselves slowly approaching, or we have already come into the time where the effort of shaitan is at its peak, where he tries his utmost to fulfill the promise that he made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is like this time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us about in the hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ فِتَنًا كَقِطَعَ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ يُصْبِحُ الرَّجْلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا أو يمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا يبيع أحدهم دينه بعرض من الدنيا. That use good actions to suffer such trials and tribulations that will be like dark portions of a dark night. What will happen in this time? يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا. That a person will wake up in the state of iman, but by the time the evening comes upon him, he will no longer have iman. He will be completely bereft of iman. Or he will enter the evening whilst in the state of iman, where by the time dawn comes upon him, he will no longer have iman. What will happen? يَبِيعُ أَحَدُهُمْ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. That he will sell his deen, he will sell his iman for some worldly commodity. So how is it possible that a person will sell his iman for some worldly enjoyment, that everlasting success, everlasting enjoyment, he will sell that in lieu of some worldly, a few minutes, a few seconds of enjoyment, my dear brothers, is when a person does not hold on to the Quran, he does not hold on to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a person does not make an effort on his iman, and does not have yaqeen in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in times like this, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given us the recipe of the preservation of our iman. One sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man najah, that what is salvation? Or how does a person attain salvation? The beautiful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is timeless and applicable to every situation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the sahabi radiallahu anhu three advices that inshallah we should try to hold on to these advices during this time. The first thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that amsik alayka lisanak, or amlik alayka lisanak, that take control of your tongue. Especially during this period, there will be a lot of traffic. People will be susceptible to road rage. They will be prone to road rage. At that time, we should be keeping our dignity, and we should be holding our tongue. At times, the husband and wife are not accustomed to spending the entire day, 24 hours, 48 hours, so many days together, that when the husband, like they say, the husband the entire year is leaving the house to go to work, but when he's away, the wife is wishing that he's back home with her, so that he can assist her when he's at home. But when he's spending the time with her, then she's wishing that he was back at work. Let it not be like that. Let it be that you hold your tongue if tensions have to flare during this period as well. While the outside temperature gets hot, we must keep our cool, inshallah. That we will hold our tongue, and we will not use it to abuse anyone. I will not use it to fight with anyone. And especially our spouses and our family members, inshallah, will use it to keep the peace. Thereafter, the second advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this time, that وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. The literal meaning of this, as well as the murad, the intended meaning behind this, both of it is applicable in this time. That your house should be sufficient for you. The literal meaning can be taken in today's time, that unfortunately we find it that it becomes a sort of obligation. We find it incumbent upon ourselves during this time to come out into, or to leave our homes, to come out in an environment which is not conducive to the preservation of our iman. At that time, remember the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that wal yasa'ka baytuk, that your house should be sufficient for you. Or the murad, the intended meaning behind this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you, be it that house that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you, be it that vehicle or lack thereof, be happy with that. Be rada bil qada. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you, you be happy with that. That is what is meant by this hadith. And especially in today's time, if we act upon this hadith, then we will find ourselves saving ourselves a lot of money. We will find that inner contentment, that inner peace, that peace of mind, that peace of heart. And we will save ourselves from that new phenomena that has come about, which is known as genuine worry. That a person spends all his excess wealth during during this period, coming into that frenzy, that of spending, of enjoying, coming under that utopia, that if you come out of your home, if you spend so much of money, you will find happiness and enjoyment. But after that, my dear brothers, comes worry. So if you act upon this words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that wal yasa'ka baytuk, that your house should be sufficient for you, try to spend as much time within the confines of your home, and you will find that contentment. Try to utilize this time to bond with your family members, your children, those who are small, those who are about to leave your homes. Get to know who your family, immediate family members are. Visit your parents, visit your immediate family members, keeping within the bounds of parda and the laws of sharia. Utilize this time to fear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, that these family ties, which we do not find time to join during the rest of the year, you'd spend some time and effort on this, then inshallah, we will find ourselves preserving our iman and protecting the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third advice from Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a step towards salvation, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَبْكِي عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَتِكَ, that you cry over your sins. That if shaitan has to overpower you, it is impossible for every person to be completely sinless. We are not anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. We are not ma'asum. It is impossible for a person to be sinless. But when shaitan does get the upper hand over a person, then he should cry over his sins. So these are the three steps towards salvation that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam has written for us. Thereafter, if you analyze the Quran al-Kareem, and we learn that when a person has to leave his home, at times a person, he finds a need to come out of that, out of the daily grind that he is, and for whatever reason he feels compelled that he has to leave his home, then the guidelines that are found in the Quran al-Kareem can be deducted from the incident of the Ashabul Kahf, today being Friday, the surah which we're supposed to be reading to save ourselves from the fitna of Dajjal, the story of the youth of the cave. What incident, what lesson we find from this incident, that why did these youth leave their homes in the first place? They left their homes for the sake of the preservation of the iman. So my dear brothers, we should also keep that in mind, that wherever we are going to, we should be keeping in mind the preservation of our iman, the preservation of the environment that we are going to. And what إِذَا وَالْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. They made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must guard them rahmat, God grant them mercy from His side, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must guide them towards the straight path. When they had that intention, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. With that intention, they came out from the homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them such serenity, such peace and tranquility, such comfort, that they slept for so many 100 years. When they woke up, what a state they were in. They asked one another, that كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ. That, how many years did we sleep? Did you sleep for? They replied, لَمِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. They said, they slept for so many 100 years, but the tranquility that had descended upon them, they assumed that they had slept for a day or two. My dear brothers, what do we understand from this? When a person comes out with the right intention, when he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of him, that no matter what situation he is, those who have been to the cave that is purported to be the cave of Ashabul Kahf, you'll find that it's not very aesthetically pleasing. It was impossible for that cave to be comfortable. But when the rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended, they found themselves sleeping for years and years. And on the other hand, if a person comes out into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, into the ma'asiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can spend hundreds and thousands of rands. He can book into the most lavish of hotels, but he will never find that inner peace, that inner comfort, and that inner serenity once he's in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second aspect that we should always ensure, that for us to gain what we are looking for, to gain that comfort, that serenity, we should always be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After when they woke up, what was their worry and concern? That اذهبوا بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فليأتكم برزق أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه. That take this little bit of wealth that we have. Now they are hungry. They have for so many 100 years they have not eaten. They are hungry. They have sent someone out in search of food. What was their main worry and concern? Again, if we have to leave our homes, whether we are in a Muslim country or not, this should be our concern. أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طُعَامًا. That which is the most pure of food. And why was this their concern? That they, when they had left their people and gone to the cave, they had left a people who were disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were disbelievers. So naturally the concern would be that they would eat halal. So the main concern was not the tastier of food or the most lavish of foods after so many hundred years, but it was which is the most pure and which is the most halal. At this time, my dear brothers, if we are forced to go leave our homes and go to eat out, if you are abroad, even if you are in a Muslim country as well, do not be beguiled by a halal stamp or just the word halal being used. But we should ensure that we do our investigations prior to consuming any food and make sure that it is of the purest of food and is completely halal. In worst case scenario, my dear brothers, eat something which is extremely simple, maybe some chips or some bread, but make sure that whatever enters our mouths, it is halal, so that the blood that runs through our veins is halal. Thereafter, my dear brothers, is a very important point which the Ashabu Kahf have brought up, that they mentioned wal yatalattaf wa la yush'iranna bikum ahada. This word wal yatalattaf, if a person took extra notice or whilst he was reading Surah Kahf, he will notice that this word is written a bit bigger than the words around it, and this is purported to be the center of the Quran Kareem. My dear brothers, what is the meaning of this word? That wal yatalattaf. Again, this is what we should be adopting. Wala yush'iranna bikum ahada. That keep a low profile. In our time, it can be crudely translated as don't flash. Don't flash. That wealth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, do not flash it. Do not boast about it to others. Do not flaunt your wealth in the face of those who are lesser fortunate than you. We find in the Quran Kareem, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, the advice of Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam to Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, that when he saw a dream of the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is going to become the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that inni araytu fil manam, that inni araytu ahada ashara kukaba wa shamsa wal qamara ra'aytuhum li sajidin, that I have seen that the sun, the moon and the stars are making sajda to me. The first advice of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam to his son was la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatika fayakidu laka kayda. That this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not speak about it to your own brothers even, that they will plot against you. When Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam commanded his sons to enter enter Egypt, what advice did he give them? لا تدخلوا من باب واحد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة. That you are all good looking people. That if you have to walk together and enter Egypt, then the eyes of the people will fall upon you all. And naturally they will become envious and they will become jealous of the good looks which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. Something bestowed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam was cautious that he did not fall into the eyes of the people. Likewise, my dear brothers, during this time, let us keep a low profile. Do not flaunt our wealth. Do not flaunt the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Wal yatalattaf. Try to keep a low profile. And my dear brothers, most importantly, during this time, for the preservation of our iman and to preserve our physical selves as well for the sake of our security, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has enforced upon the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to keep in those places which do not compromise our modesty and to inculcate within ourselves haya and modesty. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, al-haya wal-imanu qurina, that haya, modesty and shame and iman are linked to one another. إِذَا رُفِيَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِيَ الْآخَرِ, that if one of these have to be lifted, the other will be lifted as well. So during this time, if for some reason we have to leave our homes, go to those places which will not compromise our modesty. Otherwise, what will happen? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ, when you do not have any modesty or haya left in you, then you will end up doing whatever you want. And then you will end up being like those that I have mentioned in the beginning of the sabak, that أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ, that those people who do what they wish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that those people are like animals. Nay, they are even more astray than animals. So my dear brothers, during this time, this period, let it be known that we are reciters of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Constantly remind ourselves that we are followers of that Nabi who gave everything for us. My dear brothers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed everything for us. Let us try to sacrifice bare minimum our carnal carnal desires during this month for the sake of our iman, for the sake of the preservation of our iman, and the sake of the preservation of our generations to come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa mik amal. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.